It's time for Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network to present the weekly business radio show produced by the award-winning marketing firm Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, sharing business and marketing strategies to make you and your business successful. Now, here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis.
Yes, thank you for joining me here on another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 710 WOR, the voice of New York, which reaches a wide swath of the Northeast, even deep into Pennsylvania, north into, do we reach Maine? I don't know, maybe. But down south, some, you know, people have picked us up in Baltimore and Washington. My guess is from Washington, D.C., but it's radio, so I got to keep you in suspense just to drop longer. Sorry about that. Special thank you to the great listenership of this show. We are once again in the top 10 in New York AM radio. Top 10 in New York AM radio? We come in number 3? That's pretty cool. How do we accomplish that? Because we have great guests every single week. Week in and week out, and we're delivering incredible business content. Now, in case you miss it or you tune in late during the show, you're wondering, how can I get part of that? It's available at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. That's the platform that hosts all past shows. But even more importantly, on our YouTube channel, virtually all the shows that were videoed, not every single one was videoed, but over the last few years, 90% of them were videoed. And they're up on our popular YouTube channel. We're at 710 WR Mind Your Business on YouTube, 710 WR Mind Your Business. And when you're there, click subscribe. And the benefits are you're automatically notified when we upload a session. Well, we featured so many incredible C-level executives and great business gurus, etc. I mean, we've had Stephen Sadov, the former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue, John Sculley, the former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, Dick Schulz, founder and chairman emeritus of Best Buy, and so many other great. That's just to give a little bit of a tease. And just before I get to my incredible guest, special thank you to the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, Sruli, Michal, Betzalel, Nachi, Brocha, Michael, Miriam, and others. But they play an instrumental role in producing this show week in and week out. Well, without further ado, the author of True Reagan. By the way, I have to give a thank you to Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly was he once gave me a ring. He says, you know, Yitzhak, there's someone you got to get on your show. I said, who? He said, James Rosebush. He came, and it was at the time, James, when you just came out with True Reagan. This guy, I guess, goes back 2016, 2017. He says, you got to get him on the show. It's just, and we did have James on the show, and we've had him back and back a couple of times because each time we learn so much, just a little bit about James Rosebush. Just to, if you're not impressed by this, then you could turn off your radio and goodbye. All right. He was a former senior advisor to President Ronald Reagan. How we miss him. He was a chief of staff to First Lady Nancy Reagan. And for the last few decades, he's the CEO of an international consulting firm, Growth Strategy. They advise executives on management strategies, financing, marketing, communications, and he has clients throughout the world, as you can imagine. And again, he wrote the book True Reagan, and his most recent book, Winning Your Audience, features stories and tips how to become an amazing public speaker. James, first, how did I do on that very appropriate intro?
Well, look at the smile I have on my face. It's always an absolute thrill to spend time with you. Thank you for inviting me back. I love you. I love your staff. I love your team. And I love your audience. Hey, what's not to love about that? Okay. We always have very interesting and stimulating conversations. And I love every minute I spend with you.
Thank you. Now, you had mentioned this. You're probably no stranger to this, that I could kind of ask you anything. So are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. I'm not going to ask you for your Social Security. There's a few, you know, 100,000 people tuned in. I'm not going to go there. All right. But the reason why I wanted to have you back on is there's a lot of turmoil in leadership. I want to focus tonight, and if I may, turning to you to seek your guidance and wisdom from the decades that you've been in the work that you've been in understanding communication and its finest form. And again, you learned at the feet of the master of this, at by Ronald Reagan. Things are turning so fast. Leaders have pressures, you know, from political issues, and perhaps even from the vantage point of leadership in countries. I mean, we see what is being accomplished by President Zelensky in Ukraine, and meanwhile, at the same time, Elon Musk purchases Twitter. And maybe there are other examples that come to mind. Perhaps you could share with us some interesting and important leaders and takeaways that define them and define their success in communication and leadership. With that, I hand it over to you, James.
Well, it's very humbling to hear you say you'd like to hear some wisdom from me. And yet, when you ask someone for wisdom, it sort of makes you feel like you're an old person. So, and I don't like to think of myself as an old person, but you know, since we've been together, we are in uncharted waters. The entire world. We're not talking about just the U.S. We're not talking about politics. We're talking about all sectors are in complete turmoil. And when you search for leadership to emulate, to copy, to use as examples, to actually have tremendous success, it's hard to find in any sector. And I ask myself every day, why is that? Why is there such a shortage of great leadership? I think I have to say it relates to values. Now, why, for example, you mentioned Zelensky. Why does Zelensky come across as a great leader today? Because he's completely authentic. He has something he believes in to the nth degree, right? You know why? He's willing to sacrifice his life for something that he believes in. He believes in Ukraine, the future of Ukraine. He believes in the Ukrainian people. He's a fighter for the Ukrainian people. Now, let's look at the corporate sector. Let's look in business. Customers, they want to flock to a company that they know cares about them. They want to know that if I'm going to buy, if I'm going to come into your store, if I'm going to order something from you, if I'm going to order something to be delivered to my house, mm-hmm. that the people who are running that company care about me. And they care about me because I'm a customer, and they care about me because I'm buying their products, and I have the opportunity to be actually the first person to promote their business. I'm thinking about a hotel chain that I travel all the time, as you know, hotel chain that I've really kind of is my go-to hotel to stay in a lot of different cities. Just yesterday, I encountered this experience with, there was a young person at the desk, checked me in, did an absolutely outstanding job of making me feel like an important guest at that property. The second day I was there, completely different team, you know, they turn over in these hotels all the time. They didn't even know how to speak. They had no ability to have a relationship with me as a customer. So what did I do? So I wrote to the manager of the hotel, and I spelled it out in black and white. Look, this team needs training. I didn't feel, and you know, they're always asking you to get these surveys.
Yeah.
You feel that you're a valued customer. Okay, now this goes back to the people who are actually leading the company. And this doesn't relate to just consumer-based companies.
Right.
It could be manufacturing companies. Right. Could be manufacturing companies as well. You want to know, and let's look at the situation with Boeing. Look at the years of tragic missteps that Boeing has made, and who is making it at the top? At the top, it all goes back to the top, and it's unnecessary, and it's tragic for a company like Boeing because millions of people are dependent on Boeing for their safety, number one. Number two, for their livelihood, because we have to travel. You know, I would tell you that I travel a lot. I've been on a lot of airplanes and lately, and every seat is taken. Every seat is taken. Now, let's look at the airlines for a minute. So you see all the time, you see, oh, let's rate the airline. So you see, for example, Delta is on the top. American, I'm totally loyal to American because I have status on American. I like American, but it's not at the top. I had recently, I had a client, say, he wanted me to fly to Atlanta to, because I was coaching him. He owns a great guy. He owns a valuation business in Atlanta. He says, oh, but you know, if you don't mind, I want to pay for your trip down here on my Delta Sky Miles, whatever. Okay, fine. That's fine. Oh my gosh. All of a sudden, because I don't travel on Delta regularly, I saw why they're number one. They take care of the customer. They communicate. They make you feel that they're listening to you. Completely different than American, which, as I say, I love American, but I would love to see some of those values there. They want me to tell them whether I'm always going to be loyal to American. And they've got me because they've got my status there. But I saw, I'm just telling you as an example, I saw what was going on at Delta. Okay. Now people, the customer or the shareholder, they know the shareholders. And as we've talked about before, who is the CEO of any company do they report to? They are held, and they have to be held accountable by the board. What does the board do? Represents the owners of the company. And you know, I want to say something here, because today you get the feeling that there's a promotion of the idea that shareholders don't count, that all of these other issues count when it comes into CEO behavior, who they should be addressing, their accountability. Well, I will tell you, do you know who most shareholders are in the world, really? There are people who have a few shares of corporate holdings that are in their retirement plan. So many retirees. We're not talking about people of massive wealth here. We're talking about sustaining retirement plans, 401ks, people that are really dependent on the success of the companies that they're invested in. So it's offensive to me when people talk about, well, you know, oh, the equity market, the stock market or whatever, you know, that's just for people of, you know, billionaires and all this sort of thing. They're making these determinations. I think that anyone that's running a public company in particular has to recognize that those shares are held in trust to support a lot of retirees, hundreds of millions of retirees, and they're dependent on that. So I think that you really need to be in this period of extreme, I think the world, as I say, in every sector, we're in uncharted waters, but I think there's so much turmoil. Now, turmoil also is a key word for opportunity. So my prayer is that this turmoil will be recognized by people that we can trust as leaders, and that they will turn it over and see opportunity here, and they will lead us out of a period of extreme turmoil into a period of extreme growth.
What an intro to an amazing show. By the way, for those that are listening on radio, you hear in the, just when James speaks, you hear it in his voice. You hear experience, conviction. There are many other great words that come to mind when James speaks, and it's but I don't want to say he has a face for radio. He looks great also. And when you'll be watching the YouTube, you'll know what I mean. So this will be up on YouTube in a short order. But again, if you want to know when it will be up, just subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're at 710 WOR Mind Your Business. On YouTube at 710 WOR Mind Your Business. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Well, that's it for today. Tomorrow's guest, Eli Manning.
My schedule's been packed lately.
Eli, don't forget, business call in 20 minutes.
Just never ends.
Oh, and we've got that production meeting.
So I do my business banking on my time, online with Investors Bank.
Investors Bank makes it easy to manage your accounts anytime with the flexibility of online and mobile banking.
Finally, I'm calling a timeout. Well, maybe not.
Visit investorsbank.com or stop by a branch. Member FDIC. Investors Bank is a division of Citizens Bank N.A.
The future that you envision for yourself and your business is totally attainable. You need support along the way. And as entrepreneurs, having a team around you that supports you in achieving what that vision is vital. And that is something that the Covenant Group is committed to delivering.
Most of the times that people come to the Covenant Group, usually it's that they want to enjoy what they're doing, they want to have more quality time, or they want to have financial independence or financial security.
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business. We are, in essence, design engineers, and we're helping entrepreneurs design the business that's right for them and then execute.
The idea of having somebody coach you through the hard times of the business and think through what it is to have an inventory of client activity and what it is to build a base of revenue and to think like a business person, it's just not common in our industry.
My name is Mark Parton.
I'm Dean Harder.
I'm Alvin Brown.
I'm Jay Langford.
My name is Luc Godet.
I'm Andrew McKinnon, and I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
Building a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
And we're back. Mind your business with Gil Success right here on 710 WOR, the voice of New York. Welcome, welcome, welcome. My guest this evening is none other than James Rosebush. James Rosebush is no stranger to, I don't want to say just to the show, to the American landscape. He worked in the White House under President Ronald Reagan. Even before we get back to our script, we always have to go back to Reagan. People are getting, those that are old enough and remember President Reagan, the fascination, the appreciation, and of course with time, that is only growing. James, just before we get back to tonight's show, which is principles of leadership and examples, let's talk about what you learned by President Reagan. I mean, what better example was there?
Oh, it's I tell you something interesting is going on right now. There's not that Reagan was ever in a cool spot in terms of his popularity and respect, but he's having a resurgence right now. And I'll tell you why I know that, because my book, True Reagan, put out in 2016, which was a bestseller, is now, I just found out, is being translated into Hungarian and into Portuguese.
Wow. Special.
And I'm also negotiating to have it brought out in Polish, because, you know, in Poland, they love Ronald Reagan. They have statues to Ronald Reagan in Gdansk. And there's such, you go to these countries and you see even more. You know why? Because they had a thirst for what Reagan represented. And what he represented was he was an evangelist for freedom. You know, Reagan, yes, he was a great, you know, in the top five of all U.S. presidents. But more than that, Reagan, wherever we went in the world, and I went with Reagan on so many of these trips, China, you know, went out and talked to collectivist farmers in China, Soviet Union, everywhere. And you know what he was always preaching? Freedom is a God-given right. And the reason he was an evangelist for freedom is because he wanted people to have the freedom to worship the God that they chose. And he knew that that was not worshiping the state. And in a communist and other restrictive regimes, they're looking to control you from the government. He wanted to unleash the individual's ability to worship in the way they sought. Because why? Because he believed thoroughly that man was born with individual right for freedom and liberty, and that was the only way that you could also follow this, ever get out of poverty. If you have to have the freedom of self-determination, to advance your skills, to advance the opportunities that are given to you in capitalist economies in particular. They don't want you to have those in these restrictive controlling societies. Why? Because it's all for the players that have control of you, control and are regulating everything in your life and everything that you do. Reagan was so opposed to that. And he was an evangelist everywhere we went in the world. And that's why he was so widely respected. And to have worked for an individual like that, you asked me what I learned. I'll tell you what I learned, a million lessons. I learned a million lessons from him. And I should write another book called A Million Lessons I Learned from Ronald Reagan, because they're untold. When I turn to the right, when I turn to the left, when I'm advising companies, when I'm working with heads of companies or just ordinary people, teachers, I coach teachers how to communicate better. Why? Because two things. I had a dad, I grew up with a father who was a teacher of Dale Carnegie, which is, you know, one of the legendary methods of public speaking. And then I'm trained by the great communicator, Ronald Reagan. How could I not impart and share this knowledge that I gained from him? But I saw, especially in Reagan's case, that it worked. And I saw why it wasn't just that he was a trained orator. Just like in Zelensky's case. And, you know, I say today, Zelensky has inherited the mantle of great communicator from Reagan. Of course, it's a different time. It's a different style. Reagan didn't wear tight T-shirts on camera like Zelensky does, of course. Perfect for Zelensky and what he's doing right now. Right. So Zelensky knows everything about lighting and image. I learned all those things from Reagan. But what you can't learn is how your heart beats for your constituency, for your population of a country, for your employees, for your shareholders, at every level, the person who is there leading. And think about it, we talk about leadership, right? It's kind of a formal term. Let's break it down into leading. What does leading really mean? I like to think of it, a leader is like a Sherpa. You know what a Sherpa is? So a Sherpa, I don't know, you know, but I have to explain it, that a Sherpa is a guide, a mountain guide. And the mountain guide, you know, my daughter has climbed in the Himalayas. She went out with Sherpas. And I'm glad I knew she was going with a Sherpa and she wasn't going by herself. You know why? It's a Sherpa's job to make sure that you survive, that you live. Now, that is real leadership. Now, the Sherpas that are working in the Himalayas, taking people climbing, they're not great corporate leaders, but they're an example. They're actually, what are they doing? They're leading you up the mountain, and they're making sure that you get to your desired destination. And that destination means meeting your goal. That is what a leader is to do. A leader is to get you to your goal alive and safe. Okay. Now Zelensky's doing that. Now let's talk about in the corporate sector or the small business sector. You have a lot of callers that listen to your program all the time. These are, you know, sure, you have the captains of industry, no question, but these are people that are working hard to grow their businesses every day, right? Okay. They may not be individually and personally touching their customers or their shareholders, but they are certainly touching their employees who are in contact with those people. If you know that you are committed to a specific goal of helping your customers do better, get better products, better pricing, whatever your goals are, that will tell you what your strategy has to be to get there. That's why I call my company Growth Strategy. Now think of it like this. You know what strategy is? It's like GPS. Now let's say I've been out to your magnificent studio, right? It's a long drive for me from Manhattan, right? How do I get there? You know how I get to your studio? I use GPS, but I had to have your address to get there, okay? Now, a lot of people, they don't understand that this is what strategy does. If you don't have a strategy for growth, what do I mean by strategy? You set targets. And why are you setting targets? Because you want to do a better job for your customers. You want to do a better job for your employees. Look at Schultz, you know, retaking Starbucks right now. Okay. What does he want to do? And what did he say yesterday, which I thought was brilliant? Okay. It's a different time for Starbucks. Okay. When he started Starbucks, it was competing with or taking over, small coffee shops or whatever, right? Hey, the marketplace is completely different today. Now, that's what I call great leadership. He recognized it. He recognized it first. That's like GPS. That's his strategy. You have to recognize the opportunity. And of course, the superhuman right now, I think Elon Musk is the person who is on steroids when it comes to recognizing opportunity and having the guts, the conviction, and the will to just go forward and to take turmoil, turn turmoil into opportunity.
Now, let's hold on for a minute on to this, what we'll call now the second principle that we're addressing in tonight's show. The first one being authentic, okay? This one, recognizing opportunity. Let's hold on to Elon Musk because he's like on fire with this. Perhaps you could just elaborate on obviously the takeover of Twitter and any other examples and how he follows it and holds on. And even when, that was some ride over the last month. It with times and it with the table. It was on the table, off the table, went to the board. No, yes. Walk us through it. How he saw the opportunity. He held on. Walk us through it from your vantage point.
My vantage point is that I read the definitive biography on Elon Musk. So Elon Musk was a person who, and if you follow great leaders who do identify and capture opportunities and do something about it, there are a lot of us that sit around and say, well, there'd be a great opportunity here to turn Niagara Falls into a hydropower plant, or something like that. Okay, but it's not going to happen. So Elon Musk, he takes the biggest challenges. And you know what I really love about Elon Musk, among many things, he doesn't care about money. And you would say, oh, come on, what do you mean he's the richest man in the world? He's willing to lose it all. That's not what he's there for. His mind is like popcorn, okay? He has this idea, a minute, and he wants to take that opportunity and he wants to do something with it. And I believe that his methods or his goals are really as humanitarian as they are money-making. And isn't that an interesting, let's go back to that Schultz example we were talking about a minute ago. Okay, he made a whole lot of money by making a whole lot of people happy with his coffee and their accessibility to coffee, right? So you look at Elon Musk now, he's thinking space, okay, tunnels, space, transportation, how we get there. Everything that he's now, what he's doing with Twitter, he sees Twitter as something that he can improve. So this is just an idea of the popcorn. Now, I want to go back to the leadership thing because a lot of what we were talking about in this last segment, we were talking about the ability of a leader to recognize opportunity as a strategy. Now, in this, we're talking a little bit about other components in great leadership. One you'd have to say is, of course, great communication. Maybe we'll get a little more to this in our next segment, but I would not say Elon Musk is a great communicator. He's a great thinker. He is a person who's fueled. He can't help himself by thinking of new ideas and new ways to do things all the time. And I remember seeing this in my own dad. I grew up with a dad who was not only taught Dale Carnegie, but he was almost troubled by the fact that he wanted new ideas in his company. He wanted new ideas all the time. And this stimulation that you see with people like Elon Musk, and Elon Musk is certainly not the only person by a long shot, but if you go back to the individual leaders who have made a difference in not just industry in terms of making money, but industry in terms of improving quality of life. We're talking about creating the electric light bulb. We're talking about transportation. We're talking about food. We're talking about all different ways of improving the quality of life that the United States has been a champion of, a pioneer of, and an incubator for, right? So today we see all over the country there, and I've been involved in a couple of them, incubators for young people who have all these ideas and they want to convert the idea into an actual business. And this is really a marvelous thing. One of my clients has devoted their fortune to helping people have financial literacy. And what they're doing is they're giving their people of all ages, really, but giving them the skills to understand the value of money, how to place it, how to use it to good effect. So you have to have ideas, you have to have resources, and you have to have, lastly, of course, I think you have to have the ability to communicate. The question is this. We know Elon Musk is not a great communicator, and he would admit it himself if he were sitting here. In fact, he's had some misadventures when it comes to communicating, and he's been fined by the SEC for it. And I think it kind of gives him a bit of maybe even making him more fascinating as a figure, right? But he knows that communication is not his top skill. Now, do you have to be a great communicator? I think that being a communicator, if you don't have communication skills, can get you into trouble, as we've seen in the case of Disney recently, as we've seen in the case of Boeing, certainly. The guy that was, when those aircraft came down, the three of them, and he couldn't really express any kind of empathy for the people who died. I mean, he's gone now as head of Boeing. But so many of these people, I'll tell you, even the people who come out of MBA programs, you know that only 22% of all MBA programs require public speaking skills. Now, let me ask you this question. What's more important, taking an accounting course or taking a public speaking course? You can buy accounting skills. Particularly today.
What a question.
But you cannot buy the ability to speak. That is why I've dedicated my life, a portion of my life, to coaching people and teaching them how to be great communicators. Because even if you don't have the brilliance of Elon Musk, you may have kids, you may have grandchildren, you may have, you may be on your county board of supervisors or something like you. You may have a role where you absolutely have to have the ability to communicate what you're thinking or ideas or basically for the good of the organization. And if you can't communicate, that is a severe handicap.
I'm speaking with James Rosebush, former senior advisor to President Ronald Reagan, and he was a chief of staff to First Lady Nancy Reagan. He wrote two books thus far. He did give us a hint that he's working on, he's thinking about, but it's probably going to happen. If I had to put money down, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. James, the world needs it. That book, Learning Lessons, A Million Lessons from Ronald Reagan. I love it. I love it. You said it. You shared it. And there's tens of thousands of people that are going to hold you to it. My listeners are going to hold you to it. Look at that smile. Oh, it's worth $1 million. James, before
I interrupt you for a second?
Of course.
Okay. You were talking about Nancy Reagan. Not too many people know this, but next week on Tuesday, we're celebrating Nancy Reagan's centenary. So we're actually a lag by a year because of COVID, but she would be 100. And so there's a celebration for her at the Reagan Library, and there's I'm speaking, and there's going to be a little bit of there's some panels that are going to be talking about, what she did and what she accomplished as First Lady. But interesting, right?
Wow. James, before we go to a commercial break, how can people find out more about your services, especially you service many executives and like you said, ordinary people, not that anyone's ordinary, but you service a wide range of professions and professionals. How can people find out more information?
I'll tell you, and one of the most fun things that I get to do is we have a program. I have a business partner in this, and we call it Deal Ring. And we train people who are fundraising for their investment products. And I would tell you, it's one of the most gratifying things is to see people come in. It's their job to talk to investors, to bring money into their funds that they've created or to fund their companies. And they have almost like a, what do you call it? They're terrified. They know their product, but they just need some help being coached. So I spend a day coaching them. And then what we do is we put them is we put them in front of what they're called judges, but they're allocators. And then there's a contest. Who's going to win the right to make the pitch to these investors? And I'll tell you, it's one of the most enjoyable and rewarding things I do. And I'll tell you why. There was one day a guy came in. He was a part of the program. And while he was speaking down to the floor and his hair was hanging down and the audience couldn't even see him. And I thought to myself, well, this guy really needs a jolt of confidence. I said, you'd die laughing. I said, go across the street and get some hair gel. And he's like, what do you want? I said, go, just do what I tell you to do, right? And I'm kind of pushy when it comes, because I want to see results. So he comes back. I says, go in the bathroom, he comes out, lo and behold, he looks like the actor that was in Pretty Woman, that incredible movie. So he actually looked just exactly like Richard Gere. But no one knew it because he had his face down like that. And so then I pushed him against the wall. I said, I want your neck against the collar of your shirt. So he goes out, he tries again. Standing ovation. Why? Because people could see him. And by getting the standing ovation, it increased his confidence. And so in his review on my website, he said, oh, you changed my life. Well, I didn't change his life. I just gave him a few tips, right? So these are all things that I think that almost everyone needs these. There aren't that many great speakers that really know all these things. And I have to say, I just learned them by watching other people. And especially the years I spent with the Reagans, because they came out of the entertainment industry. They knew, and they taught me everything about lighting and timing and all of these things, which I wouldn't have known before. But these are things that people, anyway, you can find me on www.growthstrategy.us. You can call my office at 202-835-1695. 202-835-1695. That's how you can get to me fastest.
We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
Well, that's it for today. Tomorrow's guest, Eli Manning.
My schedule's been packed lately.
Eli, don't forget, business call in 20 minutes.
Just never ends.
Oh, and we've got that production meeting.
So I do my business banking on my time, online with Investors Bank.
Investors Bank makes it easy to manage your accounts anytime with the flexibility of online and mobile banking.
Finally, I'm calling a timeout. Well, maybe not.
Visit investorsbank.com or stop by a branch. Member FDIC. Investors Bank is a division of Citizens Bank N.A.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yusuf Saflis right here on 710 WOR, the voice of New York, and around the world on the powerful iHeartRadio Network. A treat tonight. Yes, none other than James Rosebush, former senior advisor to President Ronald Reagan and chief of staff to First Lady Nancy Reagan. He wrote two books thus far, True Reagan, What Made Ronald Reagan Great and Why It Mattered. And I did an interview about that book. A special shout out to Bill O'Reilly, who got me in touch with James. And his most recent work was Winning Your Audience. He also, I won't say slipped, but it was a great idea that kind of came out through the show, and we want to hold James to it. He had an idea that he shared earlier in tonight's show where he said, I should write a book, a million lessons learned from President Ronald Reagan. James, when that book comes out, could you please do the release or pre-release on this show, Mind Your Business? Do we have a commitment for that?
Hey, I'm going to do you better than that. I'm going to put you on the front page of the book. I owe this to my friend Itzhak.
There you go. I mean, when you said it with such conviction, and it came out of moment with such emotion and authenticity. And I was like, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. I like, the world could use that book. The world will eat it up. It will become a bestseller. It's not a question. It's like, wow. And it's like, right after this interview, James, please get to work. Don't waste a moment.
Now you've really got me going there. I think there's no question. You know, people love these books about the lessons I learned. And one of my coaching clients is CEO of a public company. And when we started working together, he's like, you know, I said, well, what are your goals? I want to write a book. Well, I said, a lot of people want to write a book. You know, have you got the discipline to do it? And by gosh, you know, we've been working together for about a year. And he told me in our last session, he said, I've started writing. I'm doing it. And it's his story of success in business. And you know what it has to do? It has to do with values and helping people. It's really interesting. It's not a technical book about the industry in which he's a leader. It's about how he treats his employees. And because his company is rated one of the happiest places to work in the U.S. It's interesting.
Now, we have only around 10 minutes left to tonight's show. Not nearly enough time to get all the information I would love to share
with our listeners. Bring me
back.
Bring me back.
Yes, you're invited back. In tonight's show, we're talking about leadership principles. In the first segment, we talked about being authentic, and you had great examples. The second portion, we focused on recognizing opportunity. Great leaders recognize opportunity, as Elon Musk is like the perfect example of that. Perhaps you could share in the last segment another key principle, and of course, communication. Feel free to share an example of a leader, be it in the corporate world or in the political world, that comes to mind that just is nailing it. I mean, of course, Ronald Reagan comes to mind, but someone current that comes to mind that is an absolute great leader that has great communication skills, and some takeaways for the great listenership of Mind Your Business.
I tell you, it's like, I wish that I could give you examples of 100 great leaders that are masters of communication, but we have this tremendous deficit of great communication today. The first thing that you really have to master in terms of being a great communicator is storytelling. Everyone wants to hear stories. If you say, well, what does your audience really want to hear? You know what they want to hear? Stories. And you know why? I'll tell you this. So when you go home from a speech, or you listen to you're listening to something online, or you're listening to something on television, And hey, your kid comes into the room. Hey, what do you, you know, what is this guy saying? Or what is this woman saying? Oh, they told a story. You know, stories are repeatable. If you're talking facts, they're not repeatable because it's hard to say, oh, you know, someone told me yesterday that the, you know, the space industry has grown by 84% and the blah, 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 blah. Do people want to hear that? No, they want to hear a story about the person who went into space, or they want to. I give you an example in Reagan's speech at the when the Challenger came down. You may remember a very, very, very tragic day. He talked about, of course, he said very kind and nice things. The whole country was in mourning, but his speech, follow this, is rated in history in the top 10 of all great speeches. Now, why is that? At the end, he recited this magnificent poem that was written by a flyer who was shot down. He wrote this. Eventually, he was shot down in World War II. And it's all about, and he ends this phrase, I reached out my hand when he was flying to touch the face of God. And that's how he ended his speech. Now, I'm telling you, that is what is remembered about his speech. When I was with him and he went to the 40th anniversary of D-Day in Normandy, what was it about? It was about recognizing the people in the audience and telling their story. They want to hear stories. So the first thing is, you have to master storytelling. People say to me, oh, no, I'm a terrible storyteller. I'm a terrible story. I say, you know what? I got a few tips for you. You don't have to tell your story. Read the Reader's Digest. Used to have a section called my favorite character. Yeah. And as a kid, I would read them. What were they? They were stories that people were telling about their lives. My life was boring. They had interesting things to say about their story. Another way to find stories to tell, obituaries. And Wall Street Journal now has great obituaries. They tell the story of people who've done things, but they're interesting aspects of them. So that's what I tell you. The first thing to be a great communicator as a business leader or running a shop, it doesn't matter. Tell stories. Number two, the story has to have a point. So this story is really like a parable that illustrates something that you're trying to say. That's why people who are trying to be like stand-up comics, it doesn't work as a business leader or a leader of a country to just tell an offhand story. Reagan, they said, you know, he loved, of course, he loved jokes. They a lot of people say, oh, Reagan was a great joke teller. He didn't tell that many stories that weren't related to a political objective. So he would often tell stories about what life was like in the Soviet Union. You know, when you place an order for a car in this country, not so true today, but you know, you get it delivered within a month or something like that. In the Soviet Union, when they order a car, well, you could have that in 38 years or something like that. You know, it just brings down the house, right? But look, he was making a point. He was denigrating their economy, but he was doing it by, so always, that's number two, always make your stories relate to something that you want to communicate. Thirdly, you always had to bring down the barrier between you and your audience. Now, you watch this with Zelensky. So Zelensky he's a man of the people. So you already know he's very comfortable with you and you're very comfortable with him. Why? Because you trust him. So let's say when you go to, a violin concert, you go there and you know what you're thinking? Oh, geez, why am I here? Why am I spend so much money on this ticket? You know, you might be on your phone. The hardest audience for me as a speaker is to speak to high schoolers. Oh my gosh, they're on their phones, they're chewing gum, they're throwing, you know, they're not focused on you. You have to gain their, you have to tear down this fourth wall of resistance. And you do it. How do you do it? By building a bridge to your audience. You have to make them feel that you're one of them in the sense that you understand that they may not, you know, be here under their own, you know, power, or they might not have decided to come here. Maybe they were brought by a friend. Zelensky does this. He reaches out to his audience, and he brings them in because it makes you feel his suffering, the suffering of the people there, because he explains it through stories, and he's obviously got a lot of dramatic material that he, you know, he can show, but he knows how to, in no other way that I've ever seen. Think about this. He has made these speeches. Yeah, you could say if you live in America, he's made this speech to the joint session of Congress. And boy, was that brilliant. He starts out speaking in Ukrainian. He shows a video that he, by the way, arrived because we live next door to the Ukrainian ambassador right here. They're close friends of ours right in Washington. And we were with them the very night the war started. She was holding my hand. Itzhak, she was holding my hand and she's looking at her phone. Itzhak. And she says, it was 9:30 at night. Dessert was just about to be served. And you know, I don't like to miss dessert. But she said, she's holding my hand and she's looking at her phone and she said, James, the war has started. I was with them the night that the war started. Very dramatic, right? So of course our heart goes out to them, but to go back to Zelensky, look, it isn't just the American Congress that he's spoken to 153 nations, okay? How, you give me another example of a person who has harnessed the number of sympathetic governments for a cause. I mean, certainly Churchill worked, he didn't have the ability, obviously, to communicate to global audiences, but Churchill, I mean, Zelensky's right in there with Churchill. Churchill did everything he could possibly do to get Roosevelt to commit to the US helping to save Western civilization, which is exactly what Churchill did. People don't get that. If Churchill had not been the kind of leader that he was, we wouldn't have Western civilization today. So I guess that's my third or fourth point. It's the stories with a point, the ability to relate to your audience. And let's say lastly, people don't get this. Ask your audience to do something. Okay? Reagan, in his speeches, he always ended with his favorite quote from Thomas Paine, the great patriot. And he loved this quote. Remember, we have it within our power to begin the world over again. We have it within our power to begin the world over again. That gave people hope. That gave people engagement. That gave people a charge to be better, act better, talk better, do better, perform better. Why? For the good of the world. And I'll tell you, Itzhak, right now, the world has never needed communicators, leaders, people of authenticity, people of values, unselfish hearts and minds. We need the Elon Musks thinking through and creating better solutions, services, and products for the world. We need people whose heart beats for peace, for prosperity, and freedom, mostly freedom for all mankind. Where are those people? We desperately need those people. So Zelensky never leaves his audience without asking them, the people of Ukraine, need your support desperately. Why? Because this is not just Ukraine against Russia. This is the war of saving freedom and the right to sustain a sovereign nation based on freedom for all of its citizens. This is the challenge that we have in front of us. Are we going to stand up? Are we going to be great warriors for these values? We need to enlist, we need to train, and we need to convince young people that they need to enlist in this cause. And they need to understand the importance of what life under a constitutional way of life and a rule of law, the benefit for all mankind that can offer. And we need to never allow this to slip through our hands or to slip away. These are the things that great leaders need to be imbued with, and they need to communicate. As I say, whether you're serving a cup of coffee in Brooklyn or whether you're a leader of a great nation.
Wow. What a way to end this show. We are nearly out of time. Just before I let you go in the next 15, 20 seconds, James, how can people get in touch with you?
I would love to talk to you. Call me. Call me right away at 202-835-1695. 202-835-1695. Or you can go right on my website at growthstrategy.us.
What an amazing show. James Rosebush, former senior advisor to President Ronald Reagan, chief of staff to First Lady Nancy Reagan, and for the past few decades, the leader, the CEO at growthstrategy.us. Growth Strategy is an advising, is a firm that advises on management strategies, financial strategies, marketing communications. He has clients throughout the world. He shared his information. Again, it's growthstrategy.us. The YouTube episode will be up in a couple of days. The actual episode on the podcast platform will be up by Tuesday morning. Thank you for joining on an amazing show. In case you missed it, you really missed a treat. But again, it will be up on YouTube. When you subscribe to our channel, you're automatically notified. So subscribe on YouTube to our channel at 710WOR Mind Your Business. But we're out of time. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 710WOR. Have a successful week.
710WOR and the iHeartRadio Network present Mind Your Business, hosted by the president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Founded in 1992, Bottom Line Marketing Group is a strategic, creative, and execution-driven marketing agency, helping businesses by clarifying and promoting their vision, mission, and purpose to support its lead generation and customer retention initiatives to gain market share in their industry. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. for this intriguing radio show as Yitzhak interviews Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus from a wide variety of business industries. Now, Yitzhak and his guests offer their knowledge and expertise to help you be successful. Every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.